Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Mount Moriah's latest album, their third, is called How to Dance. On it, the band dances with southern rock, country, maybe even a bit of old-time gospel. But it doesn't leave the party with any one of them. Maybe it leaves with all of them. Trying to parse all the different influences in Mount Moriah's music is not nearly as much fun as listening to it. So that's what we'll do. With their song, Calvander, here is Mount Moriah, live on Soundcheck.
Keep it easy.
That's Mount Moriah, live here in the Soundcheck studio with their song Calvander, which is from their most recent album, this year's How to Dance. Let me introduce you to the members of Mount Moriah. Jenks Miller playing lead guitar. Welcome, Jenks.
Thank you.
Heather McIntyre, lead vocals and guitar.
Hello.
Casey Toll is playing bass, and Daniel Faust is behind our drum kit here in the Soundcheck studio. So, Heather, Calvander is a place name, right?
Yeah.
And not the only time on this record where songs are given the titles of places.
Yeah, good eye.
Well, you know what it reminds me of?
Uh-huh.
Did you happen to grow up with Southern Harmony, you know, the shape note songs?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you
yes.
know how a lot of those have place names.
Yeah.
You know, they have names like, you know, Wyndham or something, you know, and
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I guess it seems like maybe that was not in your mind when
you were... It wasn't, but for me, just it helps me connect with the narrative that I'm writing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, for me, it sort of was redolent of traditional Southern music,
mm-hmm.
you know, the idea of just kind of affixing a place name to a song. There is a lot of, you know, there's kind of biblical imagery built into the band name, of course. Mount
mm-hmm.
Moriah is where the binding of Isaac took place, right?
Isn't that right, yeah.
All right.
So that was sort of the impetus behind the band name was... In large part because it does kind of directly connects us to this Southern heritage and, you know, the gospel and Christian music. But we are not that, but we are interested in that
yeah.
and certainly influenced by it. And so it's I think the band for all of us is a way to reapproach those influences from a position that's maybe slightly removed but still a part of it.
Well, you know, it sort of... have you guys heard the Drive-By Truckers' most recent
yes.
album, American Band?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what they're doing for Southern rock is kind of like opening it up to, hey, you may think you know what Southern rock has mm. been, but that doesn't mean it's what it needs to be going forward.
That's exactly right. And I think there's space in that sound to accommodate progressive ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And... So that's kind of the experiment of the band is how can we take this established sound and align it with what are very contemporary ideas and identities.
So the album, and I'll quote you guys, is dedicated to anyone who has ever felt the cold shadows of oppression and discrimination. And then your list of other dedicatees mm-hmm. includes, Heather, both activists mm-hmm. and artists, which... Those two can often be the same, it seems, these days.
They can. They should, in my opinion. For me, I felt like it was an activism.
Yeah, yeah.
Making this record, so.
Does that make it a heavier lift? Or does that somehow, you know, keep your eye on the prize and make it easier to get where you're going?
Well, I guess I had some things to get off my chest, you know, and a lot has changed between when we wrote the record and what's happening now in the U.S. And, again, it's resonating pretty.
Yeah. Now, you guys are from North Carolina, which Jenks, is a battleground state. I mean, were you guys maybe a little more clued in to the possibility of what happened on Election Day? I mean, here in New York, it was just... seen as a foregone conclusion what was going to happen. And
well, yes and no.
Obviously, that didn't.
You know, we're watching the same news sources that you are, but definitely on the ground in our day-to-day lives, you know, you encounter whole populations of the country that you don't in the city. And so, you know, for example, I live just outside town. I live in the country, in the woods, and, you know, driving to work every day. You know, all I see are Trump signs.
Right.
And so there is this, like you're saying, it's a battleground state. There's a sense of it being a contested area. And I think that is very inspiring in some ways because you're constantly reminded what the stakes are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how are these songs received in your home state? I mean, can you look out at your audience and see a reflection of both the blue and red sides of North Carolina, or are you pretty much just seeing a sea of blue?
No, I think it's the blue and red sides. I mean,
that's what we want.
That's what we're hoping for. You know, it's, and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this through music and not another form of activism is there is a certain universality here, and we hope to harness that, and so the music can appeal to anyone who likes that musical tradition. You know, it's not just about the politics.
Right, right.
But that is also there. It's, you know, if, should people choose to examine that part, it's certainly there.
Well, there's an old Italian expression, prima la musica, the music first, you know, and if you get them with the music, and then there's right. a little Trojan horse action there.
There
it's like,
you
wait
go.
A minute, what are these words again?
That, you unveiled our secret there.
Right, we're speaking with the members of the North Carolina band Mount Moriah, their most recent album called How to Dance. This next song, Cardinal Cross, is that a place?
Well, arguably it is a place.
Maybe a metaphorical place.
Metaphorical place, yeah. It's a astrological intersection.
Okay. All right, you're treading in ground I know very little about, except that I do understand they added like a 13th sign recently.
Really?
Yeah, I think they've thrown the whole thing off.
Or something like that. And
yeah. How did that get by me? I don't know.
Because I guess people who are seriously into it are just like, no way. You know, we got our 12 signs. We're happy. We're done. All right, well, let's hear the song. It's called Cardinal Cross. The band is Mount Moriah. The album's called How to Dance. It is their third, their most recent, and they're playing some tracks from it for us today here in the Soundcheck studio. Heather McIntyre on vocals and guitar, Jenks Miller on lead guitar, Casey Toll on bass. Behind our drum kit today is Daniel Faust. Here they are, live on Soundcheck. Song is called Cardinal Cross. It comes from the latest album by the band Mount Moriah, the album called How to Dance. And they are here with us in our Soundcheck studio today, playing some of the music from that record for us. It's the group's third record, and Heather, the second record, Miracle Temple, mm-hmm. had, you know, it was sort of message-driven as well, but the message there was more sort of personal identity, mm-hmm. gender identity, sexual identity, and things like that. it seems like this album might be sort of casting a wider net, that they're sort of macro as opposed to micro issues.
Totally, yeah, you nailed it. And that was the idea. It was to find ways to relate to universally. And that was something that I needed to do personally. So.
Mm. And Jenks, is there a corresponding kind of development in the sound of the band, you know, to sort of an analogous thing to the expansive nature of the lyrics?
I think so. The first two records are much more restrained and introspective in that way. You know, the arrangements are purposefully spare to allow more room for Heather's vocals. And on this most recent record, we decided to complicate things a bit or step things up in intensity. And so there are sometimes elements that will come into conflict with Heather's vocals or otherwise kind of challenge that space. I think the overall effect is a more muscular kind of record, hoping that that energy translates to the wider net that you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, there's also the wider net of the North Carolina music scene. And we were talking a little bit about this before the mics went on that, you know, you were saying, Jenks, that kind of per capita, it's way out of proportion, you know, to the general population there in North Carolina. Are you both North Carolinians? I mean, are you both from the state originally?
Proudly.
Yes.
So it seems like, you know, there's a lot of people who've come to North Carolina. But, you know, we've had His Golden Messenger here in the studio not too long ago. Of course, John Darnielle and the Mountain Goats, whatever it is that Shirlet Ammons is doing down there. I mean, you know, this all these different people, and yet you all seem to know each other and play with each other.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So what's in the water, Dan? What's going on down there?
I think it's part of it being, you know, this a contested area. You know, it's a place that's very inspiring for artists to live in. You can't really commit to one dominant narrative for that area. And because of that, artists have the freedom to pick up on these undercurrents and use those in their work. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the state is attractive to musicians and artists from all over the country, really.
Right.
You know, it sits right there on the line.
Mm-hmm. There's something about, for me, driving into, say, like a queer punk show and passing Confederate flags. For me, that's important in a way, you know?
See, like, to me, that sounds... I'm a native-born New Yorker. To me, that sounds completely surreal. But to you, it's got to be...
It is surreal, but it's also like we've grown up in some, you know, in that, and we've seen it, and we are trying to move forward from that. And I think the community there's a lot of people who moved to North Carolina. It's especially the central North Carolina, because it's the quality of living is great. The cost of living is pretty great for artists. So that definitely draws them in.
Right. Well, you also have a large concentration of colleges, universities, which, you know, that always attracts people as well. But it's been amazing to see the just kind of the range of music that's come out. And even you guys, I mean, all of you have other things that you've done very different in sound from Mount Moriah. Mm-hmm. So was this, when you all started playing together, was this kind of a musical homecoming for you or just another gig?
It's hard to say because Heather and I started the band to explore more traditional songwriting. We were both playing in much louder and more confrontational bands. And you know, we still do work on that kind of stuff, too. But we wanted an outlet with which we could explore traditional songwriting and folk and country music.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we love. You know, it is a part of who we are.
It is a bit of a homecoming, you know, just full circle. It felt like the right time.
Well, the band is Mount Moriah, and now Procita, this next song, this is another place name, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Where is Procita?
Procita is actually pretty far away from North Carolina, all the way. It's a little street in San Francisco.
Okay. All right, let's hear the song. Procita is the name of it. It's from the album How to Dance, which is the latest from Mount Moriah, but this will be another live performance here in the studio with Heather McIntyre singing and playing guitar, Jinx Miller on lead guitar, and Casey Toll playing the bass guitar. Daniel Faust is behind our drum kit here in the Soundcheck studio. Another live performance from Mount Moriah.
You on a dime with an appetite. I showed up alone in Procida Heights. I met you in the dark.
Very cool. That is Mount Moriah with a live performance of their song Procita here in the Soundcheck studio. Once again, the most recent album is called How to Dance. And we were talking before, Jinx, about the name of the band, Mount Moriah. That's the mountain in which the story of Isaac takes place. It reminds me of one of my all-time favorite Leonard Cohen songs, which is The Story of Isaac, where he turns the binding of Isaac. It's an early song. And he somehow pivots from that story into an anti-war protest song, all in like 3.5 minutes. It's a work of genius, but it's also a really creepy, kind of eerie song. So I told you guys we were just going to wrap up here and say, but I'm going to sandbag you both with the same question, which is favorite Leonard Cohen song.
Oh, God.
That's a really hard one. I mean, it's kind of a cliche to say Suzanne.
That's a great song.
I always like So Long, Marianne also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be...
So Long, Marianne?
Yeah, and Hallelujah. It's really hard to pick them.
Yeah.
What about you?
I kind of like The Story of Isaac.
It sounds like it.
Also Anthem, you know. Mm. The idea that there is a crack in everything. Mm. That's how the light gets in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean, that's... To, you know, The guy was a poet in addition to being a great songwriter.
For sure.
Well, so a brief detour there towards the end. But guys, this has been great fun having you here with us in the Soundcheck studio. And congratulations. How to Dance is a terrific record, and it's great hearing the songs in a live setting.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. That does it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but there's much more on our website, our weekly music roundup, our daily gig alerts, and of course, our Soundcheck podcasts, bringing you live music and videos and lots more. That's at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time. Never know me.